your pastor's about to celebrate his 45th year. And last week he had a wonderful celebration of paying off the debt, as I understand, 8 years early. God has blessed you richly. And I thank the Lord for this church and for your pastor. He's helped us in our ministry at Daytona Beach, Florida over the years. He's been an encouragement to me. Some pastors don't see it that way, but your pastor believes in witnessing and winning souls. And that's, to me, what it's all about. That's what a church should be all about. A church shouldn't be a social gathering. It should be a soul-saving station. And that's what this church is. And some of you have been saved here or through this ministry some way. And it goes on and on, and I thank the Lord for that. And God has blessed our ministry at Daytona Beach, Florida. Hard to believe we'll be celebrating our 50th year of starting that ministry almost 50 years ago now, our March 28th through 31. This coming March will be our 50th year. Put that in perspective. I believe millions and millions of people, about 2 weeks away, will be watching the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl 51, and we're celebrating Daytona 50. And over 105,000 people, to be exact, 105,246 people have been saved, but that's really just the tip of the iceberg, because so many lives have been changed. Not only the young people and adults who come and are involved with us, because their lives are changed, but also the thousands of people that have trusted Christ. We have a follow-up program, and that's why I know today that there are 21 men that got saved there over these years that are preachers of the gospel today. Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Many of the young people, many of them, hundreds of them actually over these years that have been involved there with us at Daytona witnessing, are in the ministry today. Many of them are missionaries. And I thank the Lord for that opportunity that he gave me all those years ago. Of course, you have to understand, that's 50 years ago. I was only 5 years old when I started it. But. And all these songs that we've been singing, and then Brother Wade singing this beautiful song, did such a good job on it. Jesus is coming. And when he comes the first time back, he won't touch the ground. All of us who are believers, who have trusted in Jesus, and I want to urge you today, if you're not a believer, and what I mean by a believer, if you have not faced the biblical fact that we are all in the same boat, we are all sinners on our way to hell without the Savior. And the only hope and the only way for a person to go to heaven is through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. It's through the resurrection. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You'll be fooling yourself if you're counting on something else to get you to heaven. Your good works will never do it. I was taught that all my life. Ron, you work as hard as you can. Work as hard as you can. Do as many good deeds as you can. And it was always this. And Ron, if you do that when you die, maybe you'll go to heaven. We who are saved by the grace of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ do not have a maybe salvation. We have a for sure salvation. And when Jesus comes, we'll be caught up, all the believers, together in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever and ever. And after that takes place, There will be in heaven what is called the judgment seat of Christ. Now thank the Lord for all of us who are saved. We will not be judged for where we're going to spend eternity. We're already in heaven with the Lord. But we will be judged for what we've done in our bodies and in our lives, whether it be good or evil. And there will be rewards given out. And there will be loss of rewards. And there's going to be 5 crowns given out. The incorruptible crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life, and the 5th crown is what I want to reference this morning. It's the crown of rejoicing. If you have your Bible there, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you look at me, verse 19 and 20, because Paul here is talking about this wonderful crown of rejoicing. And if you do receive a crown, please don't think you're going to run around in heaven forever, for eternity, with a crown on your head. As the song says, one of the songs we sang, those crowns are going to be cast at the feet of Jesus. But look at verse 19. For what is our hope, Paul said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now, what Paul was talking about, he was talking about people in that church at Thessalonica that were saved under his ministry. Probably many of these he brought to Christ personally. And what he was saying and what we need to understand this as a Christian, this is the real joy of a Christian. And that is those that we have witnessed to, that we have planted the seed in their heart, that we have introduced to Christ. And then the greatest joy is not only planting the seed, and that's what we teach our young people at Daytona. We start on Tuesday. We train them all day Tuesday. We train not only I train all the young people, and I have another leader that trains all the adults that come as team leaders. They're the team leaders. They're in charge of the different teams of 2 boys, 2 girls, and 1 or 2 team leaders. And they get their training also. Then we witness on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All 3 of those days are given to witnessing. One of the things we pray for every year is for God's blessing on us. And one of the parts of that blessing is to hold back rain. Because you can imagine if it rains, we don't have anybody to speak to except the sand and the rain. So we need good weather. Well, it was amazing. Last year, we had 2 bad days of weather, only 1 good day of weather. But you know, in spite of that, those teams of 2 boys, 2 girls, and their adult team leader won over 500 people to Jesus Christ in those 2.5-3 days of witnessing. But really, we only had 1 good solid day. I can remember when I was in high school. You say, can you remember that far back? Well, I can. When I was in high school, when I was in college, and I played football. In fact, it's kind of a sad thing. When I first went to college, before I went to Bible college, I went for the wrong reason. I had a scholarship. It wasn't scholastic. It was a football scholarship. And I can remember scoring touchdowns in college and high school. I can remember in a championship game in high school, my senior year, taking the ball in the end zone, running the length of the field. Boy, that crowd standing on their feet, cheering. And it was easy to do because I had a lot of good blockers. And I can remember running down that sideline, zigzagging in and out and watching bodies on the other side, the other team flying through the air. And I was just running down there. Well, it was a thrill. It's a thrill to experience something like that. But there's no greater thrill, no greater joy outside of being saved and taking your Bible and showing somebody how to get to heaven, witnessing to them, and even leading them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In witnessing, and by the way, it says here, this is our glory, this is our joy. And who ought to be more full of the joy of the Lord than a Christian? Why, we ought to be the happiest people on this earth. But I'm really afraid, and I know Pastor feels like this because he deals with so many people over all these years. I'm a little afraid to ask some Christians how they're doing. Because they'll let you know, hey, you'll be out pretty good. Well, are you saved? Yes. Well, how long have you been saved? 50 years. I've never told one, but I want to tell them, you need to tell your face. Now, listen, I don't care how much joy you have. You can't walk around 24 hours a day, paste that smile upon your face. That's not really normal, is it? Of course not. Things can come in our life that take that smile away. But I'll tell you, if we're saved, we ought to smile once in a while. Yes. Well, even in the singing of songs, some Christians can't sing them right. My favorite song is Amazing Grace. I love that song. We sang some of that this morning. But I've watched Christians. You sit on a platform and watch the audience. I've watched some Christians singing Amazing Grace. Not this morning, I didn't, but I have seen people sing this song, Amazing Grace, which is unbelievable amazing. And this is how they sing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, it must have been very amazing grace if it saved you. Listen, we ought to put a smile upon our face. And oh, what a joy it is. This is what we teach our young people when they come to Daytona. Listen, witnessing is not a star effect. We don't have some, and let me tell you, over the years, I've had young people there win in 3 days of witnessing, 300 people, 200 people, 150 people. We don't ever spot them out. I don't ever have them stand up and say, this is your example. Because I want to tell you something. The only thing that counts in salvation is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are the messenger. That's why 1 Corinthians 3 tells us some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. God saves the soul. We are the messenger. And we're to tell people and show them and point them away the way. And when we do that, there's no greater joy than that. That joy ought to fill our heart. And we ought to be so happy in the Lord. And we ought to be running for this crown, honestly. The crown of rejoicing. We ought to be going out of our way to witness to a lost and dying world. And I actually believe there's three ways we witness. First of all, with our life. According to 2 Corinthians 3:2, we're to be a testimony. Yes. A written epistle. Of what Jesus Christ did in our heart. Yes. And I want to tell you, as you live for Jesus, your life will count. Yes. Don't think it doesn't count. And don't think people aren't looking, watching. Right. We who are saved all have someone watching us. Then we witness with our mouth. According to Ephesians 6:19, we're to give utterance to a lost and dying world. And not just allow them to see Christ in our life, but tell them about the Lord. And where would I be today, honestly? I have a personal belief about that. If a girl wouldn't look me right in the face one day when she was 16 years old, boldly at a basketball game between my Roman Catholic high school and her public high school, and said, Ron, I'll tell you what you need. You need Jesus Christ. And eventually, after months of witnessing to me, won me to Christ. Where would I be today? Well, I actually believe I'd already be dead in hell. I know the path I was on before I got saved. Where would you be today if someone wouldn't have told you about Jesus? And this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to turn around and tell someone else about Jesus and use our tongue and our lips to give the gospel. That's not just the responsibility or the calling of a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. That is a commandment to every Christian, that we're to tell a lost and dying world about somebody needs you to tell them about Jesus and to witness to them of this marvelous grace of God. And then we witness with our tithes and offerings. As we give, the gospel goes forth. This church gives thousands and thousands of dollars every year to missionaries so they can take the gospel to a lost and dying world. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that witnessing is threefold, not just one. It's not enough just to give. We've got to tell, and we've got to live our life where people can see that we are different than the world. Not perfect, but different. And thank God for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I think of the things we need to be a witness for the Lord, there's a need for confidence. Not cockiness, but confidence that we may share that gospel. Then I think of the word control. We shouldn't be under the control of our own life. We shouldn't have control of what our life is going to be like. Not if we're saved. See, if we're all saved here this morning, all of us who know the Lord, we need to come to that no matter what the age is, not just a young person, but even older people need to come to that place where we say, Lord, here's my body, here's my life. I give it to you. I want you to have control of my life. See, if we're saved, we're supposed to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, where he controls our thoughts and our lifestyle and how we live and show Christ to a lost and dying world. And then I think of the word commitment. To be committed, not just to the Lord, but committed to the gospel, of having a part in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, there's three things that'll happen. Number one, there will be a price to be paid. You say, you mean it's going to cost something? Yes, it'll cost us something. Salvation doesn't cost a thing. Jesus paid it all. You can't buy salvation. You can't work your way to heaven. But if you stand out for the Lord Jesus and you witness, there is a price to be paid. Turn to Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 3. And look what Paul said about this in Philippians 3. If you look at verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count as lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win Christ. Let me tell you, when you really become a witness, you're not going to be popular with everyone. You know, at Daytona, we stick out. I want you to understand, I want you to get a picture of this. If you saw our group at Daytona, you'd spot them a mile away. They all have their clothes on. And they have a New Testament in their hand. So we stick out. And by the way, I believe that's the way it ought to be. We don't go there and undress like the world does. You say, well, why do you go there? I'll tell you why we go there. We're trying to reach the youth of America. Now, we don't just reach the youth of America. We win many adults to Christ. But that has been our theme all these years, and that has been my burden, to reach the young people in this country. I'm going to tell you, like never before, and I've been doing this a long time, young people need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You stop and look at what's going on among young people today, horrible things. What's the answer, by the way? What's the answer to, I believe it's like 55 million plus, or at least 50 million plus babies being murdered. I didn't say aborted, I said murdered. That's where we stand right now. What's the answer to that? Many of those are young people, by the way. Many of those are young girls. What's the answer to that? Hey, there's only one answer to every single human problem, and the major problem with humanity is sin. And the only answer to that sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, when you step up for the Lord and tell others about Jesus, you'll pay a price. I lost my whole family. When I witnessed to my father, he disowned me. He threw me out of the house. My mother followed behind him and did the same thing. My three brothers quit speaking to me. My one brother spit right in my face. Sometimes people, in fact, the Bible's clear about this. Jesus didn't, he said, I didn't come to bring a peace. I came to bring a sword. And a testimony for Jesus Christ divides people. And when you stand for the Lord and witness, you may lose friends, so-called friends. People may turn their back on you. But see, Jesus will never turn his back on you. Then I think of the unbelievable need for power. Well, do you realize we can obtain power? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. I love this passage right here in Isaiah 40. And if you'll look with me at verse 29. Here we find in verse 29 a promise of power. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Here's a promise to all of us. We're not going to be not equipped. If you're going to witness for the Lord, here's a promise of power. And I'll tell you, I don't care who we are, we're a fainting people. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. My strength comes from the Lord. And the only way I can witness to my family members and people that I don't even know, total strangers, is to have this power of God. But we don't just have the promise of his power. We have the promise of his presence, that he'll be with us when we tell people the good news and the truth of the gospel that Jesus saves. Look at chapter 41 and verse 10. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Here's a promise that the Lord is with us and will be with us. Here's the thing. When the Lord Jesus comes into your heart and saves you, he doesn't leave. Now, I was taught all my life, every Sunday, to go to communion, take this host in your mouth. Jesus can come in for about 15 minutes and then he leaves. Well, that's not in the Bible. And if you get saved, Jesus will come into you and he will not leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, my friend. He is the best friend that any of us could ever have. And thank God for that. To realize we have Jesus if we're saved. We have the captain of our salvation. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And everything that we do, including witnessing, telling our friends and neighbors and loved ones about the Lord, he will be with us and give that power. Notice in verse 10, the first word, fear. Well, we all have it, by the way. We all have fear. If a mouse ran across the front of this church right here, right down on the floor, I'm guessing that some women would jump to their feet. Maybe some men. Now, I know that for a positive because it happened to me. I was in a pulpit in this church, and a mouse ran right across the front of the, right down here on the floor, ran real fast. It was a big mouse, by the way. It might have been another family. The rat family, it was big. And it was a church mouse, of course, because we were in the church. This actually happened. Five women over on my left-hand side jumped up on the pews. This happened. Three men on the right side jumped up on the pews. While we all have fear, we don't all have the same fear. Some of you maybe have a fear of snakes. I don't have a fear of snakes. Now, I don't like them. I wouldn't go up to them and say, hey, rattle for me. How about striking? Strike me. I'm not that stupid. But we all don't have the same. Now, I have this unbelievable fear about spiders. I just have a spear. The fear is so great, honestly. I saw, preacher mentioned Ferrari. I saw one the other day in front of a mall. That's about a $250,000, $300,000 car, by the way. And it was the 488. You know what's called? The Spider. If they gave me that car, I would not want to have it. I'd sell it. Get the money for our ministry, but I wouldn't drive it. No, who in the right mind that has a fear of spiders would drive a spider? I mean, there's no way. It would bother me driving around. I'm driving the spider. Well, that's crazy. But we all have fear. The greatest fear we have is to tell someone about the Lord, but God will give you power to do it. And how many times have I seen this at Daytona? Here stood a girl, a senior girl in high school. How I remember this young lady. What a witness she was for the Lord. Not just at Daytona, but in her public school. And on this one occasion on the beach, she had a whole football team. There were like 12 of them. All football players from the University of Michigan. They were so big. You know how big those guys are. They're huge. And they were all so big, she had to stand up on her tiptoes with her open Bible, showing all of them out of the Bible how to be saved. And you know, all those football players, after she went through the plan of salvation, invited them to be saved. Do you know they all bowed their head as she led them in prayer and they received Christ as their Savior? Now, here's the amazing thing. Two of those football players are two of the 21 preachers that are preaching the gospel today. That's not because of a person's, oh, that girl has such a personality. I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you, if I had a personality like so-and-so, I'd be a good witness. No, you'd be a good witness if you say, Lord, here's my body, here's my life. Take me and use me. Work through me. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Allow me to tell someone else about your love and your dying for them and salvation in you. That's what will make the difference. Then there's the matter, as we close here, if you'll turn your Bible to Revelation, no, to John 3, first of all, chapter 3. There's not only power that we need, a price to pay, but there's purpose to be fulfilled. Now, what was the whole purpose of Jesus coming into this world? Well, it's talked about starting in verse 16. Now, we all know this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I want you to know today, my friend, that Jesus Christ loves you. For God so loved the world, he loves you today. Jesus came into this world for that reason right there, to save sinners, to save anyone that would come unto him. When he died on that cross, he shed every drop of his blood, and I want you to know he did not die in defeat, he died in victory. Because when Jesus died on that cross, he crushed the head of Satan. If you're saved today, you're on the winning side. There's no other religion known to mankind where the founder got up out of the grave after he died. Only Jesus. Only Jesus got up out of the grave. I'm not telling you today, my friend, about a figment of someone's imagination. I'm telling you about a person who not only lived and died for your sins, but he was raised again the third day, and he is alive forevermore. And he's able to save anyone that comes unto him by faith. And my friend, today, if you're not saved, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he would save you. And if you are saved, by the way, all of us are saved. You know what we need to do? All of us ought to be serving the Lord. Are you serving Jesus Christ today? This is the one of the ways we serve him, by coming and gathering together around his word every time the doors are open of the church. And thank God for Christians that know how to be faithful. But there's so much more to do for the Lord. So many people to tell about him. Yes, God does love the world. He loves every single person. He made us. And Jesus died for us. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world. That's Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. And there's two people in this room today. Two types of people. Somebody who's saved, and possibly someone who's lost. A person who is lost is not all of a sudden going to stand before God and become condemned. When we're all born into this world, it doesn't matter what the religious affiliation of your family is. That has nothing to do with it. We're all born the same way. We're born in sin. And we're separated from a holy and a righteous God. And the only thing that can change that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that night I came to Jesus and got on my knees and opened the door of my heart and called upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called upon his name and I received him into my heart. And I'm going to tell you, he came into my heart and he saved my soul and he changed my heart forever. That's what God does. One last passage, if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 20. This scene will take place in heaven one day also. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face in the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened in another book, which is the book of life. Now this scene's going to take place one day. This is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And all the small, the Bible says, and all the great, from presidents to paupers, who are not saved, who rejected Jesus Christ and rejected his blood atonement, they'll all stand at this Great White Throne Judgment. If you're here this morning and you're not saved and you don't get saved and you die, and there's nothing worse than that, my friend, a person dying without Jesus, because there's no hope. This is your hope right here. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. If you're not saved and you don't get saved, you will stand at the Great White Throne Judgment. At this scene, the books will be open. Another book will be open, which is the book of life. And notice verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is known as the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Now, it's an interesting thing about fire in the Bible. When it's related to Jesus, the Son of God, when it's related to God the Father, it's all the same. God the Holy Spirit. Because they're three in one. Jesus is God, was God, and will be forevermore. And when Jesus spoke of hell, every time he spoke of hell, he warned about this place called hell and the fire, which is never quenched. He didn't say like fire, smells like fire. It's real fire. And hell and all its contents, as we learn in this passage, will be emptied into the lake of fire. He doesn't say like a lake of fire. Maybe it could be kind of like a lake of fire. Maybe it's fire. I don't know. No, it's a lake of fire. And when people are cast into the lake of fire, it's not for 5 minutes. It's not for 5 hours. It's not for 5 centuries. It's for eternity. Separated from a holy and a righteous God. Think about that. If you're saved this morning, you know in your heart, if you believe the Bible, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And thank God for that. But think about the millions, and I mean millions of people that do not know the Lord. And so many, just like me, I had no idea I was religious. I was an altar boy underneath the priest in my church. But I had no assurance in my heart that when I died, I'd go to heaven. I used to be scared about that, totally. But I'll tell you, I'm not scared now because Jesus saved me. And I'll be with him for eternity. And if you're not saved this morning, you need to come and put your faith and trust in him. Because he does love you. And he did die for you personally. And all of us who are saved, I'll tell you, we ought to go out of this building today determined like never before. I want to run for that crown of rejoicing. I want to know the joy of telling others about Jesus. I want to know the joy of even having that privilege of leading a lost soul to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Have you ever witnessed to a loved one, a friend, or somebody who rejected the gospel? Well, this is what we tell our young people at Daytona. If somebody rejects you, you go to another person. Because what you're doing, if you at all get to plant the seed, I mean, tell them at all about Jesus and plant some of the seed in their heart, that's what it's all about. Some plant, some water, but God saves the soul. We have a responsibility to run for that crown of rejoicing by telling people about our Savior. And I would beg you, my friend, today, if you're not sure of heaven, don't walk out of this building that way. I believe right now Jesus is seated at the right hand of God according to the Bible. I believe he's got his arms out to you. And I believe he's saying to you who are lost, why don't you come to me? Why don't you come to me right now? I love you. I died for you. The blood was shed. Perfect. Sacrifice offered in Jesus. And you can be saved today by putting your faith and trust in him. Maybe he's saying to you as a believer, why don't you come back to me? Why don't you come back to me? You've been away from me. You're out of fellowship. I saved you. At one time you loved me and served me. Why don't you come back to me? I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to all of us today. And the thing of it is, we just need to obey. Let's bow our heads. So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Now I wonder how many can say beyond a shadow of a doubt not because of what you have done, what you're doing, but because of what Jesus did in dying on that cross for our sins. And you could say today, along with me, that we have received Jesus Christ into our heart. And because of that, we have a home in heaven waiting for us. And if you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, not based on your feelings, but based on the promises of God, the Bible, if you can say that today, you know that you're on your way to heaven, would you raise your hand in the air? God bless each one of you. Wonderful. And that's just a wonderful sight to see. God bless each one of you. Thank you. Now, if you couldn't raise that hand or you struggled with it, you have the greatest need, and I'll help you in a moment. For all of us that raised that hand, said, yes, I know the Lord. I know I'm saved. I wonder how many of you, God is speaking to your heart right now. And you're asking the Lord right now in your heart to give you more power, to give you more confidence. You're asking the Holy Spirit to control your life. And you want to be committed to Him, to run for that crown all the more as a Christian, that crown of rejoicing, to tell others about your Savior. And you want to do that. Would you raise your hand if you'll say that? Just raise your hand in the air. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I wonder how many of you in the audience who are saved have somebody on your heart right now. Maybe there's a name there or a face or some names or faces of people you know that are lost, maybe family members, and you're concerned about them this morning and you're asking special prayer for them. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. So many. Thank you. My hand's raised with you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you there. God bless you there. And I don't wonder if there's a Christian in here today, raise your hand and said, yes, I know I'm saved. But I wonder if you're away from the Lord, if you're out of fellowship. Now, you're not unsaved. You still belong to the Lord. But you're out of fellowship. And you realize in your heart you need to come back into fellowship. And the Lord's speaking to you about that. Let me pray for you. Would you raise your hand, anyone like that? God bless you there. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you there. God bless you there. I see you, ma'am. Someone else. I've been out of fellowship with the Lord. Include me in that prayer. God bless you in the back. Am I right? In the middle section, another one. Someone else? Anyone else? And then I wonder, my friend, today, if you're not sure you're saved. You couldn't honestly raise that hand, or you struggled about it. Or when you raised it, you knew in your heart it wasn't true. You need the Lord today. I'd like to pray for you. I can't save you. Pastor Richards can't save you. But I tell you, we can pray for you. And if you'd allow us to do that in a moment by just slipping your hand up, you're not saying anything. You're not giving a speech. But if you just slip that hand up, we will pray for you. I'm not saved. Here's my hand. God bless you there. Thank you. I see those two hands there. Someone else, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Include me in that prayer. God bless you there, young man. Who else? I don't want to die without Him. I don't want to face that great white throne judgment. I want to be cast into the lake of fire. I need to get saved. Who else? Anyone else? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. In a moment, we'll have the song of invitation.